Good morning, church. It's good to have you all with us today. Just on a quick glance, we're glad to have our friends from Reno with us today, and you traveled a long way to be here. We're glad that you're with us today. But with that, there's also at least 30 of our own that are out today as well. You can tell it's starting the summer vacations and different things as well. So we're glad you're here to fill in some of the empty seats. We have with some of those that are gone, Dylan and Jayla are in Roanne. Dylan's preaching there today for Chris Ponshot, filling in there. And, of course, Jason and Heather Stoner, remember their whole family's in Northboro, Massachusetts for the revival this week, or this weekend that Jason was doing out there. And both of them also doing children's home presentations while they're there. And so, it's exciting as all that is, we have something that exceeds that excitement, and that was that on Tuesday night, Ashley Gonzalez was immersed into Jesus Christ. Congratulations. And so if you don't know Ashley, please get to know her and introduce yourself to her. And as we've said before, we want to be as much of an encouragement to her as she is to us. And it's so much easier to walk this life as Christians when we can look around and see others trying to do the same. And it's just pressing on towards that upward call in Christ Jesus. So we've been preaching the last several weeks, actually this is week number 10, on topics that Ben asked. So why do we teach what we do? Why do we teach this on this? Why do we teach about salvation? Why do we teach about God's word? Ultimately, it's because that's what we find in the Bible. That's why we teach what we do on that. And then we want to share what some of those things are. Today is one of those, you know, when we talk about salvation and we talk about the Lord's Supper, it's easy to get excited about those things. This is one that's maybe a little more difficult for us, but that doesn't change the fact that we need to teach on the subject because it's a very important subject. There's going to be three aspects that we want to look at, and that is on the whole thought and the idea of forgiveness. And those three aspects that we need to look at is God's forgiveness, us forgiving others, and then maybe the hardest one at times is us forgiving ourselves. And so let's think about those things here this morning. The Bible emphasizes the importance of forgiveness, both from God and from others. It teaches that God forgives sins when we confess them and ask for forgiveness, and that we should also be willing to forgive others as God has forgiven us. And so when we talk about God forgiving us of our sins, that's a confession that we make, a profession that we are turning those things over to Him. That is for the Christian. When we read that in Scriptures, it is for the Christian. We get salvation. We get forgiveness of sins in that time of salvation, just as Ashley did this week, when time of her baptism is when she is forgiven of those sins. Now, don't have to go and be immersed every time we sin. If not, we'd all prune up. But when we look at that and we think of it, we need to understand that as Christians now, we can confess our sins to the Lord, and sometimes necessary to others as well. But as we look at that forgiveness aspect, perhaps one of the most popular verses that is very easily quoted but very hard to live out is Ephesians 4:32, where it says, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you." And so let's kind of think about those things today. first thing we want to look at is God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness. Anyone and everyone in here that is grateful and thankful for God's forgiveness, say amen. And raise your hand. There we go. That's always a good way to start off. And we think of those things, that God's forgiveness and how great it is, because through him we find grace and redemption. We find grace and redemption. The Bible teaches that God's forgiveness is a gift of grace. I've talked about that. We have been given the gift of grace. I believe that the plan of salvation is the gift of grace. That it's something that we don't deserve, but at the same time, need to readily accept that. Ephesians 1:7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." The Bible describes God's grace as an unearned, a freely given gift, and redemption as the act of God freeing people from bondage, particularly the bondage of sin and its consequences. Unfortunately, as we live our life as humans, there may always be consequences that we are going to have to live with because of sin that we've had in our life. That doesn't mean the Lord doesn't forgive them, but sometimes the consequences may follow us for a lifetime. Grace is what motivates God to provide these gifts to sinners, while redemption involves God paying the price. That's Jesus' sacrifice for our liberation, our freedom, the freedom that we have in this country that we celebrate on days like tomorrow, pales in comparison to the freedoms that we have in Jesus Christ. God's forgiveness also deals with the idea of forgetting sins. Forgetting sins. The Bible uses vivid imagery to describe God's forgiveness, including the idea that he remembers our sins no more. I forget a lot of things. But no matter how hard we try to forget sins at times, it's difficult for us. But God has that ability of wiping them out of his memory. When we ask for forgiveness, he gives forgiveness. And we're even told, you know, how many times should we give forgiveness? You know, Peter thought he had it going on by saying 7 times. And Jesus is like, how about 70 times 7? And I know, many of you are doing the math right in your head as quick as you can. That's not the point either. The point is continue to give forgiveness. He forgets those sins. He remembers them no more. The Bible speaks of God's forgiveness as a removal of sin's consequences, implying he does not hold our sins against us. Adam and Eve in the garden, booted out of the Garden of Eden because of their sin. We do not have to lose our spiritual home because of the redemption, the redemptive blood of Jesus Christ. This is reinforced by verses like Isaiah 43:25 that says, "I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will remember, and I will not remember your sins." This suggests God's actions and not to remember or hold against us what has been forgiven. And that's one of those things that we need to put in the back of our mind and continue to bring out, because when the Lord forgives us, we're forgiven. And so what I'm saying is put that in the back of your brain, because later when it comes to forgiving others, when we forgive them, they should be forgiven. When we forgive ourselves, we should consider it forgiven. And so many times we bring those back up. God doesn't bring those up. See, I debated on whether to do it in reverse order to finish out with God. But what I want to look at is this is God's way. His way is perfect in how he deals with it. And so that's how we need to apply it to our life then as well. But because we have forgiveness, we have grace and redemption, then we can also capitalize that we are blessed. We're fortunate to have help in overcoming that sin. We've heard we're more than conquerors, right? And that's not just in this life. This is for getting to the next life that we conquer. God's forgiveness provides the power to overcome sin and live a life that's pleasing to him. The Bible emphasizes God's boundless forgiveness and provides ways to overcome sin. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am thankful, and I know you are as well, for the blood of Jesus Christ that makes that possible in our life. It encourages confession and repentance and a willingness to turn away from sin, promising a cleansing from all unrighteousness. Does that mean we're not going to sin anymore? I wish that was the case. I oftentimes wonder, you know, how many times in scriptures when the Lord healed somebody, what phrase would he say to them? Go and sin no more. Would they? Did they? You know what? That's not for me to worry about. Right? I've got my own struggles. And so we look at that. Chances are they probably did. They are human, went back on their way. But the Lord gives us that divine instruction to go and sin. What does that mean? That means go out, try to live the best life that you possibly can. And you know what? Not to bring us down, but it still won't be good enough. But that shows us the need, reminds us of the need we have for Jesus Christ as our Savior. Through faith in Jesus Christ, believers receive forgiveness of sin and are empowered to live a life that pleases God. This involves acknowledging one's sin and aligning oneself with God's perspective on sin. God's perspective on sin many times is way different than ours is. We look at that and we are many times moved to live better for a while, and then something, we fail. We make a bad choice. We make bad choices, whatever the case may be. And so that's why we want to focus on, when we talk about forgiveness, first of all, in each one of our own lives, remember God's forgiveness. Then when it comes to forgiving others, we need to look at some teachings that went on in Scripture. Number one, how about Jesus' teachings? What did he have to say about forgiveness? His teachings emphasizes the importance of forgiveness, both in extending it to others and receiving it from God. See, Jesus, once again, plays the role of our mediator, telling us, you need to remember the good gift of forgiveness that has been given to us by our Lord, and you need to then take that out and share that with others as well. Time and time again, the Lord dealt with that through parables and through stories of what would happen when people would not forgive. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." So when we say that, well, my relationship with so-and-so doesn't affect anybody else, that's not true. The Lord says that our relationship with someone can affect our relationship with him. Verse 15, "But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions." I just want to say this. So, if he won't forgive us because we won't forgive, because of the pride and the arrogancy in our own life, are we willing? Now, this is the extreme. But would we be willing to sacrifice our eternal home in heaven with our Father, with our Savior, because we are unwilling to forgive somebody else of their sin? Does it mean that much to us? Does somebody else's sin, right? Does it mean that much to us? Are we willing to lose out on that? Forgive them. Forgive them. Do you want to be forgiven? One of the things that I find out is whenever we go about and talk to somebody, perhaps, or we're sharing, when it comes to our forgiveness, we are always sincere, aren't we? We are just, oh, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I mean that. But when somebody else asks forgiveness, what do we say? We'll see how long that lasts, right? We'll see how long it is before they do that again. But when we do it, right? When we do it, oh, I'm so sincere. I'm making a change. I remember years ago in the school, we had a boy that spent a lot of time in the office. And his whole phrase was, I promise, I'm going to change. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. And it's, you know, just eventually those leaves need to be taken out and burned. Quit turning the leaves over. But just do what you say you're going to do. The Lord would much rather have you try to do what you've promised and fail than to just lie, really, in essence, and never make an effort and just go through the platitudes of it. And so Jesus wants for us to realize that our forgiveness is our forgiveness from God is directly related to our forgiveness of others. And that we need to understand that that forgiveness is unconditional. Unconditional forgiveness. Jesus taught that we should forgive others, as we said, made reference of earlier, without limit. Matthew 18:22 said to him, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 77 times. When forgiveness is unconditional, that will lead us to bearing with one another. The Bible encourages believers to be kind, compassionate, and forgiving towards each other, especially in relationships. It's a hard enough thing for someone to honestly repent, to offer up or ask for forgiveness, or to say that I need to be forgiven. It's a hard enough situation to do that than to receive grief from those we're asking it for. When someone does that, embrace it. Take it in. Be glad that they've done that. Share with them your own frailty and failures. When forgiveness is unconditional, that will lead us to bearing with one another. The Bible encourages believers to be compassionate and forgiving towards each other, especially in those relationships. Also, it's done for restoring relationships. The Bible emphasizes the importance of restoring relationships, both with God and with others, through forgiveness, through repentance, through reconciliation. Key themes include seeking forgiveness from God and others come about by acknowledging wrongdoing. Too many times we just like to say, well, you know. You know. No, I don't. Well, you know, I'm sorry. You know. Let's just move on. No, sometimes it's not just enough to move on. Say, I'm sorry. Is that hard? It helps the other person out. Say, I'll be with you. I will help you. I will bear with you. Acknowledge the wrongdoing. and actively working towards the opportunity to heal that broken relationship. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And in our ability of trying to be or extend the forgiveness of God to others, then we need to mirror God's forgiveness. Remember, in the back of our mind, we're thinking, remember how good he's been to me? I need to be that to others. The Bible urges us to forgive others. Why? How? What? Just as the Lord has forgiven you. Love and compassion is linked to forgiveness, demonstrating a commitment to the well-being of others. This includes being kind, compassionate, and willing to forgive one another's transgression, even if and when it is difficult. The ultimate example of forgiveness is Jesus, who forgave his persecutors, and we already quoted this verse, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. See that tender-hearted, sometimes we like to forgive, but we do it harshly. Forgive and do be tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. And it's so important to remember God's forgiveness and the opportunity we have to forgive others, but we need to forgive ourselves. Self-forgiveness, self-forgiveness. Not sure if you've ever heard it. I have. I'm sure you probably have as well. But someone will talk to you and say, there is no way that God can forgive me for what I've done. There is no way God can forgive me for what Well, I'm going to let you know this. God can and God will. Can you forgive yourself? Can you forgive yourself? The first part of realizing the need for this forgiveness is for you to realize that you need that. That you need that. You know, so many times we hear of incidents that may happen and people don't talk. Well, even if the person that was harmed goes up to them and says, you know what, I forgive you. Well, I don't want to be forgiven. I've heard people say that. I don't want to be forgiven. Take your forgiveness and go away. That's a nice way of saying it. But you know what? Many times that forgiveness also isn't for the other person. It's letting them know whether they want to be forgiven or not, whether they're sorry for what they did or not. That forgiveness is for that to be released from our own selves. That could be through someone else, and a lot of times it's through ourselves, feeling that we have done something wrong. May be the case, may not be the case. But as we look at that and we're reminded of this, we have to have a self-forgiveness. In other words, there is that moving forward that needs to happen. The Bible encourages self-forgiveness after receiving God's forgiveness and repentance, focusing on moving forward rather than dwelling on past mistakes. We do this so well in the church as Christians. We do like to live in the past. Whether it's what we've done wrong, and sometimes even on what we've done that was good. But the Lord wants to know, so what have you done for me lately? Because people, I hear a lot of people say, you know, I used to lead out in Bible studies. I used to be a Sunday school teacher. I used to do this. I used to do that. I used to do... Those were good things. But so what are you doing now? Or we may even look at it as, you know, I used to do this. I was involved terrible things in my life. Now, also, we got to be careful with that. Don't use our time of self-forgiveness as a time of self-promotion, right? Oh boy, you can't imagine the sinner that I was. And let me tell you. And they go into great detail. We don't need to know that. The Lord knows all about your struggles. What we need to do is move on. Move on from those things. Isaiah 40, 31 says, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength." New strength. This is a strength that you haven't had before. This is something different. A new strength. They will mount up like wings, up with wings like eagles, and they will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. It emphasizes that God's forgiveness is a foundational principle for personal growth and positive transformation. But we have to acknowledge our feelings as well. It is important to acknowledge and to process our feelings, the ones that are associated with our wrongdoings, before we seek out forgiveness. It's not just enough to say, "I'm sorry." We have to mean it. There is a repentance that is involved. Repentance is a change of mind that produces a change of action. Ecclesiastes 7:3 says, "Sorrow is better than laughter. For when a face is sad, a heart may be happy." In other words, things aren't always as they appear. Right? We've got to acknowledge. Self-forgiveness requires showing compassion and understanding, not even just towards others, but towards ourselves at times. This leads to our learning and our growth. Self-forgiveness is a key part of personal growth and development. The Bible emphasizes that God's forgiveness for those who repent and seek to encourage a mindset of learning and growth through grace and acceptance. Living as a Christian is not only acknowledging Christ's acceptance of us, or the Father's acceptance of us through the blood of Christ. It's not even accepting forgiveness from others, but it's also accepting and acknowledging encouragement and grace and acceptance that we need to forgive ourselves. Key passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And I think this is maybe one of the most underrated verses that we as Christians can gain encouragement from. But if you've been immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, buried with him in baptism, arise to walk in the newness of life, Romans 8:1 says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." I'm not saying we're once saved, always saved. But I'm not neglecting the fact that Jesus saves. Do we hear that? What I'm saying is we have a special relationship now. That if we are in Christ, there is no condemnation. People may point their fingers at us. God, when he sees us, all he sees is the blood of his Son, the righteousness of Jesus. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. So the question has to be here then this morning is, are you in Christ? While some interpretations suggest that self-forgiveness is a separate concept, the primary focus is on receiving and acknowledging God's grace and forgiveness, which enables individuals to move forward in positive change. So as we sum up, the Bible presents forgiveness as a crucial aspect of the Christian life, encompassing both God's grace towards humanity and the call for believers to forgive others and themselves. And so the question was asked, are we in Christ? There's no condemnation to those that are now in Christ, that are in Christ Jesus. That was one of the questions that we kept going over with Ashley. So how do we get into Christ? Are we in Christ? How does that happen? We shared with her there are two Bible verses that say how we get into Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 3 and 4 and Galatians 3, 26 and 27 talk about we are baptized into Christ. We've either got him on or we don't. And that leads us to the plan of salvation that's been given in Scripture that tells us that we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's not just a good guy. He's not a prophet, not just a prophet. He is the Son of the living God. Are you willing to believe in him? Are you willing to repent? Repent of your sins so that they can be forgiven? Confess Jesus Christ as Lord? Be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? And live faithfully for him. Are you in or are you out? When it comes to Christ's forgiveness, are we in or are we out? Do we accept the forgiveness given by God? Are we willing to extend that forgiveness to others? Are we able to forgive ourselves? Forgiveness plays a huge role in our life as a Christian. Don't overlook it. Don't negate it. Don't kick it to the curb. But see how important forgiveness is. How can we offer to somebody else what we do not accept ourselves? Come to Jesus. Be obedient. Before it's eternally too late. Will you stand as they lead us in our song this morning?